Welcome. This is ActiveSpirituality.life. It is a weekly forecast program with astrology and a guided meditation activation to help you make the most of your week. It's run by Pamela Cuccinelli, that's me, the astrologer, and Susie Mazzoli, Master Healer. We invite you to find out more about our individual work, Susie Mazzoli, SusieMazzoli-Healer.com, or InsightOasis.com for astrology. You can also find both of us at ActiveSpirituality.life, and we look forward to your joining us every week. Please share with your friends. Here we go.
Welcome, everyone, to the 13th week of 2024. And Pam's going to let us know all about the first eclipse of the season, starting the week with Monday, the 25th of March. And then I will be back, of course, with our meditation. And so what is this eclipse have in store for us, Pam?
Well, it's the first eclipse of the year, as Susie mentioned, and it's right on the wings of the spring equinox, which happened on March 19th or the 20th, depending on where you stand on the planet. And so we've probably been feeling a lot of jazzy energy this past week because things are shifting. The spring equinox kicks off the zodiacal year, and now this lunar eclipse on the 25th is the harbinger of the eclipse that will follow it on April 8th, which is the one that people are zooming all over the planet to see, the eclipse watchers. I personally I'm not quite where Susie is in the whole Buddhist thing of, well, I'll let her speak about that. She knows more than I, of course, about just being internal, quiet, meditating, and not looking at the eclipse. I may see it because I think I will see this particular one on the 25th of March. The big one that I'll be talking about more in the coming weeks on the 8th is, well, that's going to be going in a diagonal across the United States from basically the Pacific Ocean. It crosses across the world, essentially, but as it makes its trail or its arc or its journey, it will do a diagonal from the southern United States to the northeastern, so southwest to northeastern, which is a reverse of the pattern that went off several years back, which a lot of people might remember was called the Great American Eclipse. This one I don't know that they've dubbed, but it is causing a lot of stimulus. But that's what happens with eclipses. We get jazzed. We get indications. We get inspirations. Big ones where everybody notices because the sky goes dark in the day, or at night you actually see the moon check out. Those people notice in a visual way as well as perhaps a visceral way. But depending on your sensitivity, you may well be feeling the March 25th eclipse. I know I have been. The eclipses go in cycles. So the last time the series of eclipses, the one on Monday the 25th, is not a Saros cycle, but it is an eclipse that has a cyclical pattern. So they occur 18 years and change, basically. So the last one was 2006. So some of you may be feeling like 2006 echoes, maybe not consciously, but themes that happen in areas of life that are touched by the Aries, Libra, axis. So let me explain that a little better. Basically, what's going on is that this lunar eclipse is a full moon at 5 degrees Libra, 7 minutes. It's exact at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 a.m. Eastern time. So night owls on that side of the world or wherever you're standing, you might be able to certainly see it. And how much of an eclipse you see is totally based on where you are. And if you want the full data, NASA is a very good source, or earthsky.com is another good research point. But this eclipse is speaking very much about how, remember, full moons are lit by the opposite sign. So it's a Libra full moon, and that means it's lit by the Aries sun. So the Aries sun is informing how this moon gets lit. And what's happening is it's saying, how visible are you in relationship? Are you swallowing it whole, or are you giving that nice egalitarian reciprocity balance? Remember, we're coming on the heels of the spring equinox. So this is very emphasized. We're looking for equanimity. And in our world, as we look around us, we see that it's totally skewed. The idea of equanimity is not something that's overly valued right now in many nations throughout the planet. So we're getting this huge emphasis this year on how the individual affects what's going on in relationship. And that's all relationships. It's certainly the ones you have with your most intimate partner, business relationship, relationship with friends, neighbors, siblings. How do we hear one another and say our truth? And one of the things that's, I think, crystal clear when I'm talking about full moons, but particularly an eclipse, because what an eclipse does is it gives us a potential flash of insight. Now, the lunar eclipse, we say, and one thing about astrologers is that you put 12 of us in a room and you're going to get slightly different spins on every way you look up at the sky and interpret. And that's part of the absolute delight of having a art form that's about metaphors and symbolism and certainly geometry and certainly how we interrelate as our part in the solar system. But what I was going to say is that a lunar eclipse is often more of an unconscious realization than a solar eclipse may be. So to elaborate on that, you can get, instead of a absolute message where a solar eclipse message might be you see something that's crystal clear in your consciousness for a moment, like, oh, that's the piece I needed for the last chapter of the book I'm writing. Or that's the person I need to contact to resolve this issue or fit the missing puzzle piece in place. In the lunar eclipse, it can be more a revelation that comes through a dream or a memory or something that might be in certain cases a little haunting, but in other cases it's like, why is that surfacing now? And for those of us who are particularly sensitive to eclipses in general, because we might be born around an eclipse, or this eclipse particularly is impacting us because maybe it's the eclipse cycle that happened right before we were born. That's a whole other thing, pre-eclipse, pre-birth eclipses. So if you're feeling very like memory jogged around this time, and it can happen a couple of days before, or certainly on the day or night of, then there's value in sifting through and like looking at that information to see what is getting revealed. The overall truth of this eclipse is that something must be articulated that has not been said in the way it needs to be prior to the eclipse. So because of the information it gives, it can help us understand how, as an individual, something needs to be expressed within the dynamics of relationship, or how to balance the receiving and giving parts of relationships. So receiving and giving is also about how we hear and how we articulate. Because one person may be calling all the shots, but how is that being received? And are you denying a greater wealth that can come from the information received from the person who basically just is always the doobie? So the 26th is, overall, the other thing to say about this before I run on is that, remember, full moons are about integration. So how do we reconcile disparate pieces? And that's a lot of the work of what we're all doing in this present world, because the polarities are not working. It's just pulling the world apart. So how do we coalesce more? How do we gel more? How do we listen, express, receive, create more inclusive conversations? Not easy tasks. So the 26th is, the moon is still in the sign of Libra, and we're still working that understanding, articulation. Grievances must be aired. It's not easy sometimes to hold on to things that we think, oh, I can handle that, or it's not going to affect me, or I'm moving on from it. There are pictures in the sky today that are on Tuesday the 26th that are indicating it is definitely better if you face that, look at it. Oh, and the other thing I was going to say about a full moon, especially an eclipse, is that it reveals the projection. So anyone who's done 101 psychology or basically has any understanding of dimensional self, all of us project parts of ourselves on other people. The things we like, the things we don't like, the things we want to become more of, da-da-da-da-da. So the part of the integration is to become more aware of the projections, and so that you can integrate and understand. Classic example, if there's someone you don't like, really, they just get on your nerves. You don't even know why. The classic answer is there's something about that person that irritates you about yourself. So the integration piece comes in. Well, how do I own that? How do I see it? And if it's something I don't like about myself, how do I work with it instead of just having that other person annoy me? So the moon goes void, of course, at 7:09 p.m. on Tuesday. And once it's void in the sign of Libra, oh, this is a delicious night to just sort of enjoy cultural respite, you know, listen to music, watch a movie, do things that just help you chill, talk to people who stimulate you. Moon void, of course, we don't want to initiate anything new generally. We want to stay with projects already in motion, purge, and don't try to launch something super important. The moon enters Scorpio at 5:03 a.m. on the 27th, and this sets up much different days energetically than the ones I talked at length about early in the week. These are the days when we can really do that hard work of the transformation and integration. Monday, Tuesday may have been the revealing of it, the scene, oh God, this is what I need to own, work through, resolve. Wednesday, Thursday are the days when you can really make that happen. It's not easy, especially early Wednesday, for some of us especially, may feel particularly fractious, like, oh yeah, this just, everything's wrong and I'm pushing against myself and no one's letting me do what I need to do. And so that internal or external power struggle is important to take a breath, look at, and say, okay, what's the best way to move this, work with it, or go around it? And that passes as of about, oh, certainly 9 a.m. Eastern time again, so you need to adjust depending on where you live. And then we're in a really delicious zone of being able to push the energy where we need to move it. Terrific for therapeutic work, for working on something that has been stuck. We're in the waning moon cycle now, so it's great to do the finishing up, just deciding what's got to go, what has to move. And so it's a forceful day. And this just gets better on the 28th. Probably the biggest challenge on the 28th is by mid-afternoon, you really want to get through that, illusion that everything can be done, or you can grab everything at once as we cut through and make choices. Things get much leaner and we're able to work much more effectively. So that's the juice that can really push production as of certainly 2 o'clock in the afternoon on the 28th. And one thing to be aware of is where you are in space, because with the Uranus picture in the sky, a lot of people are moving more quickly than they're actually paying attention to where they are physically. So it's really important to be aware of where you are physically. This passes as of about 10 o'clock in the evening. And that is just for people who are working late or having deep conversations or research, that is tremendous for continuing to push through this, or even in just good regenerative dream state. Very, very therapeutic. Friday the 29th, the moon goes void, of course, at 11:40 a.m. And up until that point in time, it's a very productive, healing energy morning. Really, really good for people who are looking directly at the problem. It's not really, these couple of days aren't as productive if you're trying to dodge a responsibility or not take ownership of something. But if you are willing to do it, Wednesday and Thursday into Friday morning, absolutely tremendous for that. The moon goes void, of course, at 11:40 a.m. And this is interesting for people who know about our Christians or Catholics do ritual or thoughtfulness around the time that Jesus was persecuted and executed. It is a very powerful story. For many people, it's a powerful truth. The mythology of it is of someone who is willing to stand by his truth and die for it when the moon is in Scorpio. It can be a very powerful day of healing, atonement, reflection, forgiveness. The moon goes void, of course, at 11:40 a.m. It's void, of course, until 3:52 p.m., again, Eastern Time. And at 3:52 p.m., it enters the sign of Sagittarius. Very different energy than what we just experienced. It is the energy of fire and a sense of exuberant passion. And it can be very just directed where it thinks it needs to go. And it's a rather harsh contrast, especially on this day when, I'm in Mexico. It's the whole passion. They actually reenact the whole acts of Jesus being walks through the streets and then hung on the cross. So for many people, this is a day to reflect and chill. And yet once that moon enters Sag, it's going to be a very dynamic push day. Avoid arguments, avoid strife. It's just not really the best thing to do over the next couple of days. Saturday, Sunday, I continue to have this almost fervor energy, which is great if it's directed into a creative project or a passion that actually is helpful to others and you are working with others. If you're experiencing a lot of confusion and arguments, it's best to kind of table things if possible and listen deeply. See where people are at if possible. The moon goes void, of course, on 8:16 p.m. on the 31st. This is Easter. So this is going to be a very high news Easter weekend with a lot of strife and religious posturing, honestly. So anything you can do to heal and soften people who are very polarized at this point in time and remind them of lessons of love and what the core lessons of love are. Yeah, that'd be good. And now I turn it over to Susie.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Pam, I just want to be really clear. So the really important thing about this first eclipse for us is to...
it's to communicate a lot more effectively, which for most of us doesn't mean repeating the same thing in the same way that has gotten us nowhere. If communication isn't happening, then we have to go back to start. If it's something we care about, we have to listen better, tell people what we heard, have them tell us what they heard. And just because someone's very articulate and has a good sense of what they think is right doesn't mean they're communicating well. And we're seeing this all over.
So it sounds like listening might be very important for us.
Yes. And not only listening to the other person, but listening to ourselves. You know, one of the hardest lessons, I was listening to a master viola teach a student last night, and it was fascinating. One of the things that he said to her was, record yourself and listen. She goes, oh, I hate to do that. You know, 17-year-old, wonderful young violinist. And he said, if you hate to do that, what do you think an audience thinks? You have to be able to listen to yourself. And so that's a very valuable thing for us to do now. When we are, when the words are coming out of our mouths, okay, mother with child, wife with husband, worker with coworker, when the words are coming out of our mouth, are we really thinking how the other person is hearing and receiving that information? How do we sound through their ears? And it's a humbling exercise for most of us.
Okay, let's jump into our meditation then. Thank you so much. So I invite everyone just to take a little short 10 minutes just to dive in a little bit. Take a few deeper breaths. Allow yourself just to arrive, just to be here. Feel your body calming down, your mind calming down. And everything, no matter where it is, what it is, just coming to a place of stillness, just for a few moments. And in this stillness, actually accepting the stillness. It's not a place that we spend a lot of time in. We might think that being asleep is stillness, but then we're not in this conscious mind. So it's a really great thing to just recognize and be in that stillness just for a few moments every day. We can call that meditation. We can call that contemplation. We can just call it stillness. But it's where you're actually not doing anything. You're not moving. You're not being productive. You're not attending to anything. You're not being entertained. You're simply being still. The body is being still. And the mind, which is oh so hard to lasso and to just hold, but we allow the mind to be still. Which means that we don't think. We don't chase the thoughts. We're not planning, we're not analyzing, we're not worrying, we're not doing anything. The mind is just still. And this is perhaps one of the most difficult things for us to do, even for people that have been meditating for years and years. It's still something that's hard to do because it's not what we're trained to do. We're not in any place that we can remember in our lives trained to be still or to stop thinking. All of our upbringing, all of our schooling, everything we do is all about being in thought, engaged, contributing, doing, making, reaching the goal. Very, very rarely, unless we're growing up in a family that teaches us to meditate, very rarely are we even given the teachings or the opportunity to be in stillness. For many, it seems like boring, or it seems ineffective, or it seems unnecessary. But when we understand on a really deep level, even just physically, what stillness brings to us, it is amazing. As we bring ourselves into the stillness, we are actually transforming our body. The heart slows down. The stress chemicals racing around our body slow down production. Our actual immune part of our body increases. We actually have measurable, scientifically measurable, great effects from being in stillness. When we can still our mind, we are teaching the mind. We are being in command of the mind. The mind is not jumping around. The mind is not being controlled by our emotions. The mind is not being pulled from here to there by events or by feelings. We are training the mind when we sit in stillness. We are training the mind and we are taking command. And as we experience stillness, we reach into deeper and deeper parts of the mind stream of our awareness. And we find that that deep, deep place in us, which is always there, is very stabilizing. It's a rock solid place where we can go and recalibrate, reestablish the balance. So when all the drama is happening to us and around us and in the world at large, we can come back from this very deep place within us and have a solid, rock solid, centered, neutral place to come from.
that doesn't waver around, that is flexible, that can move, but doesn't get lost, doesn't get overwhelmed, doesn't get caught up in all the drama, in all the trauma. It is stillness. It's not so attached to the world at large. It's not so attached to all the outcomes. It sees the bigger picture. It sees the cycles. It sees the birth, the sickness, the aging, the death as cycles, cycles that we go through in this world, like the cycles of the celestial beings, the cycles of the rain, the cycles of the trees growing, the cycles of day and night, the cycles of our body. And gently, as we take a few breaths in this place of stillness, with acceptance and understanding of the world around us, with loving kindness and compassion in our hearts, we gently open our eyes. Feeling this quietness and energy in our body, in our mind, and in our hearts. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much, Pam, for the forecast for the week. And we will be with you again next week. Thank you so much. Love now.
You have been listening to Susie Mazzoli and Pamela Cuccinelle of ActiveSpirituality.life. If you've enjoyed this program, consider a donation. You can find the link for that, ActiveSpirituality.life. Regardless, we look forward to having you join us again for next week's podcast. Please share and have a great week.